welcome to Big Fat Positive. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Mom Wins, where we go from silly to daring. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to episode 103. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
Hi, how are you guys doing? How old's your toddler?
We're good. So my toddler is 16 months and 2 weeks. And, all right. So the ongoing saga of the toddler bonks continues.
No, buddy.
Aww. No injuries this time. But the dude, he's a climber. He's just, that's just the way he is. He wants to get on top of things. And his newest thing is he climbs on top of the couch and then climbs off the back of the couch onto the console table we have. Like, so we have a table that's like the height of the couch.
And yeah, I can envision this. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And he thinks it's hilarious. And I try not to give it power by like paying attention to it or, you know, but I have to get him down off of it, obviously.
Yeah.
So he keeps doing this and he's so proud of himself that he's figured this out. And then he'll try to stand on it. I'm like, Jesus.
Oh God.
So I pull him down from it. And then one day I have to walk into the kitchen, which, by the way, my house, I've mentioned, is like open floor plan. So I am steps away. I'm just on the other side of the baby gate. And I get something out of the fridge. I think I'm preparing his lunch or something. I don't even remember. And I hear this thunk. And I turn around and the kid has rolled like flat off of the console table, which is probably the best way. Like, he rolled flat onto his playmat, which is squishy, right? And so I think he landed on his front side. And of course he starts crying because, you know, anyone would start crying. But he didn't fall on top of anything. There was like a book or two, but they were flattened out. It was fine. But I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
so like,
no.
I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what, because I can't remove all the furniture from our house. And even if that, you know, like, let's say we move the console table, he'll just crawl onto the back of the couch.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to do. Like, I literally don't. I'm just going to have to keep removing him from it. And we're trying to make, like, rules now to stop him from going up there. But, you know, they only, 16-month-olds only listen so much.
Oh, yeah. And he's just going to get more defiant and independent.
Yeah. So I need to find a way to get him to climb on things safely. Another complication is we're still in the quarantine and all the frickin' playground structures are closed. So all the places he would normally get that like climbing energy out is gone. And I just don't think we have the space in our house for a Pickler triangle.
I've looked at, those are big.
I've looked into them and I'm just like, I just don't know where I'd put them. So yeah, we're kind of at a loss on this one and we're just hoping he doesn't really injure himself or go head first one of these times.
How far off the ground is that console table? Maybe like 3 feet?
It's not that far. It's I'd say less than that because we kind of have a low profile couch too. So it's really not that high. It's, I want to say it comes up to like my, like just above my mid thigh. You know, it's not super duper high, but it's not a little thing. And if he falls on top of one of his toys, it could be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're in the middle of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just teach him to jump off, put pillows underneath.
Maybe. I'm thinking like teaching him how to get down safely because like he could, if he turned himself around, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, we're going to work on that. That's our challenge.
Yes, indeed.
But there are some cute things going on, good things happening this week. One of them is that he's suddenly taking really long naps, which I am so into and so happy about. I'm trying not to count my chickens, but, you know, it took us a while to really adjust to one nap, and it wouldn't be unusual for him to go 1 hour, 40 minutes, which is just not enough based for his whole day. But now we're getting, like, consistently 2.5 to 3 hours, and I'm like, yes!
Oh, my God. dreamy.
It's amazing. The only downside is not knowing if it's going to be, like, a 3 hour nap day, because, you know, if I knew I had 3 hours of dedicated alone time, what you could get done.
I know, right?
But, you know, it's generally 2.5 to 3 hours, but there is a random day here and there where it'll be 2 hours, which is still really, really nice. But, you know, it's just hard to know exactly when you're going to get those glorious 3 hour naps.
I know. It's almost like you just got to bank on two. And then if it goes three, it's like a happy bonus.
Yeah. And then if it goes 1.5, you're like, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Except in my house, I'm excited if it goes 1.5.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, man. So that is a good thing. And then the thing that I'm actually kind of surprised about is that he's taking these long naps and he's also teething like crazy right now. So he has two of his canines coming in. And it just kind of feels like the teething is never going to end. Although now he's like on the cusp of having 14 teeth. So it will end because they only get 20.
Yes, that's true.
So,
and I think we have a little break. I think those back molars don't come in until around 2 years old.
That's what I've read. Yeah. So I kind of don't mind them all coming in at once because it's like, just get them over with, you know? But the canines are coming in and they are like, they are little pointed, like they look like shark teeth.
Yes.
It's crazy.
I remember when Els came in, I was just like, oh my God, that's how sharp those teeth are supposed to be? Because I grind my teeth. I've never seen a sharp tooth in my mouth my entire life. I'm like, whoa. But I think she grinds her teeth too because they're flat now.
Well, I think everyone probably dulls them down, right? Eventually, just by eating and chewing on things. But yeah, little sharks. Man.
Oh my gosh. And but you're still breastfeeding. Wow.
He doesn't bite. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm lucky. He doesn't, he knows that if he bites, I take it away. So,
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he did bite my finger, though, when I was trying to feel around to see if the tooth was coming in. That was real, real bad.
Real bad. Oh, my God. I've gotten, like, just bruises under my fingernails from her little bites. Like,
God. So bad. But anyway, it's a kind of a short check-in for me this week because it's like he's falling off things and he's teething and he's sleeping. You know, it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag.
Also just kind of the usual for a toddler.
It's toddler land.
Yep.
Anyway, what's going on in your toddler land?
We're good. Cece is 17 months and 2 weeks. And as you do, we just went to our 15-month checkup with the pediatrician.
Wait a second.
That math doesn't add up, does it?
What happened there?
I just completely forgot. I think you mentioned we took our guy to the 15-month appointment. And I was like, oh, that's a thing. And then I was like, oh, I should probably call my pediatrician. And then quarantine happened. And it's just like, I finally got a call from them one day. And they're like, we've noticed Cece hasn't come in for her 15-month appointment. And vaccinations are very, very important. We encourage you to bring your child in for these vaccinations. I was like, oh my God, I'm a terrible mom. So of course I called immediately and, you know, got her.
Haven't you been for like other things though?
Yeah, that is the
weird
thing.
And they didn't even mention it.
Yeah, we had been for like the roseola and whatever else. No one mentioned it then. So that was strange. But what we did do was kind of end up combining the 15 and 18 month appointment all into one. So we don't have to go back in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. You might have actually hacked the system right there.
I know, right? The pediatrician himself did not act like it was a big deal at all. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, she got like 3 shots. I don't even remember what for. And so I remember a couple weeks ago, I was like, I've decided to cut dairy out of my baby's diet.
Yeah.
Because she was having like, you know, a lot of what seemed to me like maybe stomach troubles at night and also the eczema. Mm-hmm. And I was describing like these wake ups that she's been having and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, those are night terrors. Remember, which I also mentioned a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I think they might be night terrors, but I don't know. And he was just like, yeah, those are night terrors. My kid had them. There's not too much you can really do. Just kind of like sit by them and let them cry. And I was like, okay. And he's like, if she has a dairy allergy, what you would see more is like irregular poops.
Oh,
I'm like, I don't think they are. I don't know. I'm like, well, I don't think so. So maybe I should just reintroduce it. And he's like, yeah, just reintroduce it because it's so hard to cut dairy out of a kid's life. And I was like, I know. So I went home and we've reintroduced dairy. I guess so far so good. I don't know. But I'm keeping my eye on the, you know, the night screaming and the eczema. So,
but no irregular poops?
I haven't seen any irregular poops.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the roller coaster we are currently on right now.
Those night terrors seem awful. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I can do when I think about them.
Yeah, just sigh. So what do you do when she has them? You just go in and sit like next to her or what?
No, try to hold her. Steve has kind of gotten really good at dealing with them. He's kind of taken the lead on this, which I am so grateful for, because it's one of the things that like activates my postpartum anxiety, right? Is all of that stuff I dealt with before I knew what I was also going through emotionally. So he's been just wonderful in this regard. He'll go in and pick her up, hold her, sing like the ants go marching all the way through, like kind of hop around the room because she still really responds to bouncing and movement, which I think is maybe related to the snoo. And sometimes that helps and sometimes it doesn't. And he just holds her for like an hour. Yeah.
Does he gets up to like the ants go marching 99 by 99.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's hard to rhyme 99 by 99.
The little one stops to pick
to
up
say
a dime.
You're fine. I don't know.
What is the 9 one anyway?
You know, I don't know for sure. I kind of made them up. I say pick up a dime.
Yeah, that's what I just said. So maybe that is what it is. That's what like came to my mind. So
yeah.
Yeah. Well, poor Cece. I hope she finds some relief soon.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, on to happier things this week. Some of her play is developing more. I just love reporting on this because it's so interesting to see like how it changes and how they just get smarter and start doing things on their own. And I've noticed that she's really starting to put things together. Like before I mentioned, like she puts blocks together and puts, you know, a buckle together. But now I'm seeing her take separate things that she's figuring out go together and play with them together. Like, for example, we have a teapot set, right? So now she knows to like pretend pour the teapot into the cup. She knows, like, she's obsessed with the trash can. Both of my kids are, like, so obsessed with this trash can because it's one of those you, like, wave your hand.
Oh,
over
your motorized it, like, trash can. Yes, I know that one well.
Yes, Trashy is Trashy. The name of trash. The trash can in our house. It's just, like, me and Steve to each other now. Just we're like, oh, put it in Trashy. Oh, my God. So, anyway, she loves Trashy. And now she knows, like, if she finds even, like, the tiniest, like, little piece of toilet paper on the floor, she'll be like, Tish, Tish, and like run all the way through the house to the kitchen, to Trashy, put it in. And so that's like now she understands trash in her room and like where her dirty diapers go. And just, you know, putting these separate things together is maybe a sign of like the last leap she went through or this leap. I don't know. But yeah, it's really cute and helpful too, because now I don't have to go to Trashy all the time. I can send my child to do it.
Send the child to Trashy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's pretty much all that's going on with us this week. So that's my check-in.
Cool, cool. Shall we move on to our special segment?
Yeah. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we're back. So our special segment today is Mom Wins, where we celebrate the amazing feats that we have accomplished in our time as a mom.
Yes. Celebrate ourselves. Oh, yeah. Mm.
So, Shauna, I want to hear what your first mom win is.
Okay, so you know we are still in the quarantine, and mm-hmm. the reason I mention that is that both of my girls are home all day, every day. I mean, haha, yay. It is wonderful. It's great. I love being able to spend so much time with them. But, and I think I've talked about this before, part of my like challenge is entertaining them all day. Like, oh mm-hmm. my God, what do we do to fill the time that's not screen time? And trust me, like Elle already gets like 2 to 3 hours of screen time a day. It's
wow.
just like the midday break that everyone needs because she doesn't nap anymore. So I'm constantly like looking for things to fill time. And part of the problem is like I set these activities up for them and it takes me forever. Then they engage with them for like 15, 20 minutes and then I'm left with a gigantic mess, right? Mm-hmm. To clean up. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm just growing weary of these activities. And the other day, I had such a win with an activity, and I'm so proud and happy. And it's really not even my doing, because Elle just basically asked for like paint for the bathtub, like something that she could mm-hmm. like, you know, they make like little bath paints, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Steve bought her some bath paints, and I bought some bath crayons, and so we got all these things, and she was so excited when they came in the mail. And Cece's, you know, along for the ride. Yes. Really, she doesn't know what's going on. She's
second
like,
kids, like, I get it. I was the second kid. Along for the ride.
Along for the ride. It's so funny. So she was so excited in the middle of the day. She's just like, oh, can I take a middle of the day bath and play with my new things? And I was like, sure, why not? Like, that, yeah. That'll be an activity yeah. for today. And my God, those bath paints and that bath entertained Elle for 3 hours.
What? Amazing.
Cece lasted about an hour.
That's a long time.
Which was a really long time. They had so much fun with these little Crayola paintbrush things. Like, of course, Elle is the kind of child, maybe every kid is like this, I don't know, but I've noticed she's the kind of kid that she takes an activity like this and, like, within 5 minutes pushes it to the nth degree of mess, frustration often for me, you know? So instead of just, like, painting on the wall with these little things, she figured out how to, like, squirt all the paint out into the tub. The tub was, like, full of, like, opaque blue, green, brown water because the whole tub had turned brown. They're just like splashing in it. And I just sat there and relaxed. Like I didn't have to wash them, right? They mm-hmm. weren't running around anywhere. The mess was contained to the tub. And that felt really good. And then by the time Cece got out, Steve took her and dried her off and everything. And I just let Elle play. And she was so engaged in independent play with all of this stuff that I just like brought my computer in and sat on the toilet and I was like doing work.
Yes.
Yes, I got so much done and she had a blast. It was probably the most successful activity we've had so far. So
I'm going to need to know what like type, what brand. I need a link.
Yes.
For these paints.
Yeah. It's really, they're great. It's the Crayola bathtub paintbrush, four mm-hmm. pens. And it's cool because it's like a little plastic paintbrush kind of with the paint in like the handle.
Okay.
So some bath paints are just like a tube of lotion basically with mm-hmm. paint in them, right? Oh God, like Elle will just spray that everywhere instantly. So this at least has some artistic element. Like you can like pretend you're painting and we've saved them and they've like filled them with water and pretended to paint with water. And yeah, they've been a really cool purchase. Yeah.
I'm going to have to get some. We'll post a link to those in our show notes on our website, too,
yeah,
for sure.
Definitely. Okay, what about you? What's your first mom win?
Okay, my first one is, it's kind of silly. It's very small, but I feel very proud about this.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, so I'm just going to come out and say it, which is that my win is that I have taught my toddler to say beep, beep, beep as he backs up.
Like a Mack truck.
Yes. Okay. So it was not really intentional.
Back it up like a beep, like a Mack truck. Back it up like a beep, like a Mack truck. Sorry, that's a line from one of our favorite songs, Wiggle Jiggle by Two Smart Boys.
I did not get the reference because I have yet to play that for my toddler.
Just don't. Anyway. Okay.
So it started as kind of a joke. Like we would do this thing where if he was in the bath with my husband at bedtime and I would come in to like get him out of the bath, I would do a little silly dance, you know, when coming in, I'd call it the mama dance. And I'd be like, the mama dance. He thought it was hilarious. And then he'd sign more. And so I'd be like, okay, again. And I'd back up. I'd go beep, beep, beep as I backed out of the room, which he thought was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Then I noticed that when I was doing the mama dance, instead of signing more, I'd like, mama, mama, mama dance. I'd come in and he'd laugh. And then instead of signing more, he'd say beep, beep, beep.
Oh, God.
Like, okay, well, I guess he wants me to do it again. And that has now morphed to now he's figured out how to walk backwards, which I think is also like a pretty cool motor skill advancement, right?
Uh-huh.
But he starts doing it and he does it and he goes, beep, beep, beep. And he thinks it's funny. I think it's funny. It's
I gotta see
really
this.
Cute. I do have it on video somewhere, so I will send it to you and we'll try to post it on Instagram.
Because oh, good.
It's really funny and really cute. So, aww. You know, when you think about like teaching your children, you think about like the alphabet,
mm-hmm.
you know, numbers. But this is a real just crown jewel.
It really is. It's going to serve him in life so well.
I mean, you got to tell people you're backing up.
Exactly.
How else will they know?
Beep.
Okay, that's my first silly mom win.
Okay.
Okay, so that mom win was very small. I feel like I should have another go at this. Can I tell you a sort of more exciting mom win?
Yeah, of course. Okay.
So, I don't know about you. When I am trying to get out the door with the toddler, I have like, I hate making multiple trips. They're heavy now, right? And like, you don't want to, my house has stairs. You can't like go anywhere. You can't get to the garage. You can't get anywhere without some stairs.
Right. Yes.
My, leaving my kitchen door, there's like three steps down. Then you have to like go up two like staggered flights of steps to get to the garage. And it's just, it's too much. Mm-hmm. So I like to make sure I have everything ready to go before I get out the door.
Right.
And so we were going to go out and play in the yard. Actually, we weren't even going to the garage. And I was like, okay, I've got the baby in my arm. I got to get my phone. And of course, women's pants don't have pockets. So like I'm holding my phone. Mm-hmm. It was kind of chilly. So I had my jacket. And then he wanted his toy car, his little like toy car he rides. And so I picked all of them up and I went out my kitchen door. And instantly took a step wrong tumbled down the stairs.
Oh, no.
And my mom win is that I fell all the way to the ground and somehow kept the baby completely off the ground.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
He didn't touch concrete. I do not know how, because my arms and hands were completely full, and I like ended up scraping the shit out of my knee and my hand, and I like twisted my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
But he was completely unscathed, and I was like, wow, that is some next level mom shit, where I like just knew instinctively how to protect him.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it's so fast, you're not even thinking.
No, that's just an animal instinct right there.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Did you drop everything else in your arms, or what happened to the other stuff?
Well, I ended up dropping the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way I was holding him and the phone, I couldn't really, if I dropped one, I dropped the other. So
Yeah.
I wasn't able to brace my own fall. That was the thing that sucked.
Is there a handrail like, on that?
No.
Those steps?
Mm. No. And there, it's like, okay, so the side, my side yard, which is where the kitchen door goes out to, it's like on a slope. Mm-hmm. So what if you take a step to the left, it's a shorter distance than if you take a step to the right. And I think that's what threw me off.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's like two steps down. It's very uneven and weird. So yeah, it was just a bad tumble and fall. And anyway, I've also learned a lesson, which is like no more holding a million things when going downstairs.
Yeah.
Like, just the baby. Nothing else, so I can actually catch myself.
Oh my gosh.
I could like imagine I could catch myself and the baby this time, you know. But the thing is, I saved the baby.
You saved the baby. You didn't break any bones.
No.
You didn't lose any teeth. A friend of ours fell holding her baby and fell and knocked out her two front teeth.
That's right. I forgot about that. Oh, man.
So, yeah, accidents with kids, definitely. I think the baby came out unscathed in that one, too. So,
yeah,
mom,
I think you're right.
Instincts are spot on.
Yeah. It was definitely one of my like major paranoias when I was, or like, I wouldn't even call it a paranoia because that implies that it's like unfounded, but it was like an anxiety that I was going to fall or someone was going to fall while holding the baby in our yard, because we have all these stairs, right?
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, we've done this renovation in our backyard. All the stairs in the back now have a railing. So that's good.
But that is good.
It's just that one little, like two or three steps down from the kitchen that doesn't have a railing, and
That reminds me of when I was pregnant, like 9 months pregnant with Cece, and I was carrying Elle out to the car to go to work and put her in the seat, and there's this like one little uneven spot that was in our grass, like by the grass in the carport, and I had always like kind of just like fumble tripped on it. I knew it was there. And then one day I just went out, my foot hit it wrong, my ankle twisted, and my big ass pregnant self came tumbling down. Elk fell with me, and it's just like, oh my God. And of course, the first thing I'm thinking is like, oh my God, how embarrassing. Like, this is out front. Did everyone see it? Like, try to get up so fast and everything. Everything was fine, but it is really terrifying to lose control like that and go down with, especially when you have a kid with you.
Yeah, with the kid in your, and being pregnant too. I mean, they say, they warn you when you're pregnant about like how you need to be careful taking steps and stuff because your center of balance is like totally off when you're pregnant. So yeah, that's not a surprise that you fell, but I'm glad you're okay.
And I'm glad we're all fine. Okay. Yay.
Just a little scraped up.
That's good.
But Shauna, I think you have told me that you also have a death-defying mom win, right?
I do.
Should we take a break and come back and hear it?
Yes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And we're back. And Shauna, I can't wait to hear your death-defying tale of a mom win.
Yes. So you know this story, and we've also kind of mentioned it briefly on the podcast. And I realized I've never like told the story because it was when Elle was a baby, right? So this is a kind of a throwback story, but it is a big one in my life. And here's what happened. I was living in an apartment, we were on the second floor in North Hollywood, and Elle was 18 months old. And we lived next door to an apartment complex that had become abandoned in the previous 6 months, because that's what was happening in that neighborhood. People were moving out and developers were coming in, but no developers had come in. And this place had kind of become like a, I don't know, a place for unusual activity. Like I would sit in Elle's room at the window. We would sit and look at the trees and stuff and look down and just see like people rummaging through trash, you know, just like someone was stealing water from our building, like a lot of weird activity. And one day I went.
Unmonitored and right, you know, like there's no one there monitoring it. There's no one living there. It opens it up to, you know, any type of unmonitored activity.
Yes, exactly. And one day I was looking down and I had noticed there was like some junky dresser down there and there was like a huge singe mark on the top of this dresser. And I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what activity is going on down there, but that building is going to burn down and we need to move. I just like had this instinct. I think I told you, I told everybody.
Oh, sure. I remember you saying that and I was like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. You know? I just hated that building. I hated that we were living somewhere and raising our little daughter next to somewhere that just like didn't feel safe to walk next to. And I was seeing this activity and then I saw that and I was like, that building is going to burn down.
Well, I just wanted to make it clear for people, like maybe they don't have a great idea of like what it looked like. In your neighborhood, it was a bunch of smaller apartment complexes, like what, like 10 to 12 units, maybe, right? And what had happened is all these developers had bought out these smaller units and the whole plan was to like completely tear them down and build these big, you know, 100 unit buildings basically or whatever, you know, some these giant cookie cutter apartments. But it was happening too slowly. So this building probably had what? Like it was sort of like a courtyard apartment building kind of.
Yeah, it was very small. It was a one-story little like, yeah, courtyard thing.
Yeah, and so I think it was completely abandoned and it opened it up for squatters to move in, basically.
Yeah, that seemed to be the situation. And just, yeah. So anyway, so I was feeling really bad about, you know, being a mom and having my kid grow up there and I just wanted to move and like nothing was happening. We just weren't moving. But anyway, so one day, about 3 months later, Steve and I are asleep in our bed and we wake up to intense pounding on our front door. And I like wake up and look at Steve and he looks at me and he hops out of bed and runs to the door and I hear the voice of a police officer. And like without even thinking, I just knew. I was like, that building's on fire. I just knew it. And I like ran into Elle's room, threw the door open, and like her window is right next to the flames of this giant tree that were in that was in that complex, right? So the fire had leapt from the building to this tree and it was her window was glowing orange and I was like, motherfucker, that fucking building, right? Like this was all so instantaneous, but at the same time I was like, oh my God, I just have to grab my baby. And I like went and grabbed her and ran out of the room and like seconds later the window burst in from the heat and the intensity of the flames and like the firefighters were there, thank God, downstairs, you know, and they like sprayed the window and everything and we evacuated immediately. I like I'm not even 100% sure I had pants on. I think I carried pants with me and then put them on when I got outside. It's like, oh my fucking God, you have to evacuate your home instantly because a fire is so scary and terrifying.
Terrifying.
So, you know, my mom win was that I didn't hesitate. I thought immediately of my baby and that's all I thought about and all I cared about. And even if that room had flames in it, you know, I think I probably would have just run and grabbed her. And man,
was she like crying? Was she awake?
You know, she was awake. She was standing and looking at the fire. I think maybe she was intrigued by it at that point because it hadn't burst in yet. She found it interesting, I think. The funny thing is that later that morning, we watched the firefighters put the fire out and wondered if our, you know, apartment was okay. And I went to check on it and tons of reporters were there. And one of them caught hold of me and I was like, oh, I'm just coming to check. My baby's nursery is right there. And I just want to see like what's going on. I was so emotional. Mm-hmm. And they got me on camera. I was on the news telling this story and I was so emotional. I think I kind of blew the story out of proportion a little bit. I was like, I came in, she was screaming and the flames were coming in. And I was like, in reality, maybe it wasn't that dramatic, but the news loved it. And I was interviewed by so many news reporters about this incident. I looked like shit, you know, because I was like 5 in the morning and crazy outfit. Maybe I'd put pants on. I think I'm pretty sure I'd put pants on.
I bet you had pants on by that point. I think I did. They wouldn't be interviewing you without pants. Maybe they would though. You never know. They like a good story.
Oh my God. It was crazy. So, you know, that was a lot of the impetus for us to finally be like, we honestly really got to move.
That was nuts. That is so crazy to me too, because that street was so nice. Mm-hmm. Like when you guys moved in.
I know.
Such a nice area. And your apartment was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a real bummer.
Yeah, that was a total bummer.
But we did get to have you come over for a couple days after
that. Oh my God, thank God for my friends. Stayed with Jen for a night, stayed with you guys a couple nights, stayed at my friend Allie's place for like a week because we couldn't go back. There was so much cleaning and like damage to clean and... Oh my goodness, some of her like little books got charred, her curtains got all... burn up. Oh my God. It's wild. And you know, I think we've mentioned before, like I think Elle has like a thing about fire now. Like I'm like, does she? I don't think she remembers that. I don't know. But
have you ever talked to her about it?
No. I've never told her that story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if it might be worth talking to her about it. Right? I mean, wouldn't Janet Lansbury say talk to her about it?
Maybe. I'm nervous about that, though, because Elle is extremely sensitive. Like, she will cry at movies that, like, the car doesn't win the race in Cars 3. You know, like, she's so sensitive. And if she does have a fire thing, I don't know if now is the right time to, like, tell her that it's possible in life for your window to blow in with flames.
But she obviously remembers when you had to evacuate for the forest fires near you.
Yes. And, you know, I think that that's a lot to do with it, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very proud of your mom instincts there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So. Wow. And I really hope there are no more fires.
I really hope so, too.
For you. In your entire lifetime. You've had enough.
I have had enough. I'm done with those.
Yes.
All right. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should.
Okay.
Okay, let's hear it. Do you have a big fat positive or a big fat negative for us this week, Shauna?
I have a big fat positive. My big fat positive is the Boo Boo Bunny.
The Boo Boo Bunny?
Yeah. Do you know what a Boo Boo Bunny is?
I do not.
Oh, cool. Okay. So growing up, my brother and I always had a Boo Boo Bunny. And I don't know if my mom made it or someone like made it. It was a very crafty little thing, like maybe made out of a washcloth, right? Like a rolled up washcloth that you kind of bend over and tie it up. And it has like two little ears. And then the back, like the body side of it is like a little open part that you could put an ice cube in.
Okay.
So if like a little kid gets hurt, instead of like getting some other kind of cold compress that's not exciting, you can go and get the Boo Boo Bunny and like put a little ice cube in it. And like the little bunny's got his little eyes and face and ears, and it's really cute. So that was like a part of my childhood, Boo Boo Bunny. And when I had a kid, I was like, oh, gosh, no one like us Boo Boo Bunnies. And
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I my parents are doctors. They're like, just shut up and take the medicine.
Oh, that's so hilarious. I was in a specialty store in Burbank in the Magnolia Boulevard, Magnolia Park area one year around Christmas time. And there was like this little display of Boo Boo Bunnies, but like more professionally made. You know, this wasn't like a handcrafted out of an old washcloth. It was like, it's like a little like soft velvety little bunny, and it's so cute. And it comes with a plastic ice cube that's filled with water. So it's not like you have to put a real ice cube in, because that's another thing I remember about the olden days is that ice cube would melt.
In the olden days, the 1980s.
Yes, in the 1980s, and would melt and get my clothes and my boo-boo wet. But so that's not the case now. But anyway, it's so cute. And I bought it when Elle was really small and didn't get too much use until the last year or two. Like, they're just both coming around to it. It's so cute if they fall. It's like, oh, Boo Boo Bunny, and they run and get it. And Cece likes to teeth on that little cube. And it's just a cute little thing that I love. And I want to spread the Boo Boo Bunny knowledge. I looked them up on Amazon to see if it was a thing. And I found a few sellers. And there's also like Boo Boo Bear. So if you don't want a bunny, okay, you can get a little bear or Boo Boo, I don't know, Bobcat. I don't know what else there is. So
that's really cute. You know what it reminds me of? This is like the cat lady thing, is that when my cat Molly was old and sick, there's like a, it was sort of like a, it was like a beanie baby for cats that heat up. Yeah, it was like a heating pad, but it was like a cat toy so that they would be comfortable snuggling with it.
That's so sweet. And I kind of want one for myself.
I know. A cute heating pad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Boo Boo Bunny, that sounds like a good thing to have around.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for one.
All right. What about you? What's your, do you have a BFP or BFN?
I have a BFP.
Cool.
Mine are the Hat Books by John Klassen.
Oh,
do you have the Hat Books?
No, never heard of it.
Okay, they're three books. They're not board books. I don't think they make board books. They're like just big hardcover books, but they're very short on verbiage. You know, they're like very terse, and so they're easy to read even for kids our age. But you can get it in a box of three. They call it John Klassen's Hat Box. But the books are, I Want My Hat Back, We Found a Hat, and This Is Not My Hat. And they're all like really sort of like minimalist drawings. That might not even be the right word for it, but they're like muted tones and they're like very matter-of-factly written. And they're a little bit about murder, but like just enough that the kids like it. So like the first one is about This Is Not My Hat is about a fish that steals a hat. This hat is not mine. Like, and it teaches you about how stealing is bad.
Okay.
It ends with the fish disappearing. So you don't know exactly what happens to the fish. I Want My Hat Back is about a bear who's lost his hat. And it goes, it's fun because it goes through all these animals. So you can do all the voices. And then in the end, the bear probably does eat the rabbit that stole his hat. Just a warning if you're not cool with that. And then We Found a Hat is about two turtles who find one hat and they don't know how to share it. So it's, I don't know, they're just really kind of weird and great. Like they're very just strange, but in like a way that the kids like love. Like I've talked to so many people who love these books.
Interesting.
And my toddler begs for them. Like he absolutely loves them. Right now he's really into I Want My Hat Back, which is the bear who can't find his hat. Like he wants to read it over and over, and it's just, and he's learning all the animal names from it. So
that's so cool.
Highly recommend. We'll put a link in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, I will definitely check that out. Sometimes even I grow weary of like the sing-songy, rhymey books. I mean, I love those, don't get me wrong, but I can feel why maybe there's something very like grounding and satisfying about a page that just says, I want my hat. Just I want my hat.
Yeah, it's just really, it's like deadpan in a way. I don't know. You have to read them. They're great. Okay. I love them.
Awesome. I'll check it out.
And I think that's our show.
That's our show. Yay. If you guys have any mom wins you want to share with us, you know we want to hear them. Love hearing them. Laura, remind everyone where they can reach us.
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. You can also send us an email, and you could include a voice memo in that email to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. You can join our Facebook community group. It's a private group, so you have to request to join. But once you join, you can join in on all our very private and awesome conversations we're having in there. And we've actually had people ask, can our friends see if we join this group? Like, I'm still trying to conceive. I don't want people to know I'm trying to conceive. Yeah. Your friends can't see unless they're already in the group. So that's the only risk. But if they're already in the group, they'd probably be cool with it anyway. But just know. But you search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Podcast and request to join. I will add you, or you can visit bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
If you love our show, please spread the word. Let your pregnant friends know, your friends who are trying to conceive, new parents. Please share the love and let them know about BFP. And if you're so inclined, please leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts. It's so, so helpful for our show to be discovered and people to trust and take that leap to listen to the first episode. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for doing that. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.